You kill.
How many is going? Promised Land. Amen. Good to see you. Good morning. How many of you have ever kept a diary, a daily diary? A memory book, if you will. A book of remembrance that you go back and look at different things. My daughter Sherry was really intent on that because I didn't realize how private they were. I happened to go in her bedroom, and I laying on her bed was this book, and I just happened to open it up, and I hadn't read two words out of it when she walked in, and I'll tell you what, she told her dad a thing or two. That's her book, that's her memories, that is her book of remembrance, and nobody but Sherry had the authority or the right to be able to look at it, read it, and then see what's said in there, and I got the picture. Anybody done that? So, and you think of that, you also think of maybe you have how many of you have a wedding book of your photos that, you know, you got every anniversary, sit down with your husband or your wife and look at those pictures. You know, the Bible says back in the aspect, remember the wife of your youth. And you'll be amazed as a husband if you just go back and look at your wedding pictures. People come to our house, Marilyn has a picture of our wedding, her and I over in the corner stand, and people come in and walk over and they look at it and said, who's your first husband, Marilyn? I weighed about 127 pounds, probably, wet behind the ears, something like that, but I like to look at it, and we keep it upstairs, and it's right there accessible, and Marilyn keeps pictures. I got pictures of her, and we went camping an awful lot, especially on Labor Day weekends when we were first married, and took an old army tent and newspapers and one sleeping bag because we were both small enough we could all sleep in the same sleeping bags. I can remember that. I can remember waking up one morning and hearing a lot of noise outside and growling, and I looked outside in the garbage can, and there were two black bears out there, and they were fighting over the garbage can, and I tried to get Marilyn to come out and see the bears. And I turned around, and I couldn't see no Marilyn. I remember that. She was way down in the bottom of the sleeping bag. And the aspects of that, of course, I think so on and so forth. And, you know, you think about going on vacation. I've read an idea one time that a good idea would be, as you're traveling, make sure you buy postcards. And then send those postcards back to your address. So when you get home, there they are. You know, if you try to keep them with you and travel them with you, the chances are you're going to mess them up a little bit. But if you stick them in the mail, mail them when they get home, make you a scrapbook. I thought that was a good idea. Of memories. We've had some great memories on our vacation, traveling with the kids and doing the things that we have done. And, you know, I get the impression that some people, some of you, think my thinking is funny. I get the idea that somehow or other, you just get the idea that my memory, there's something wrong with it. Nobody. There are aspects of it. And see, I've asked myself over and over again, why do you think the way you do, Bill? I mean, it's amazing to me how all of a sudden somebody will say something and a joke comes. One word, one thought, one concept, and I'll think of something that comes flooding through my brain and whatever, and I don't know why. I have no idea why. I just really do not. I just remember reading in Reader's Digest that if you want to learn how to tell jokes, you read a new joke, you got to find some five people, go out immediately as soon as possible, tell that same joke five times to five different people. Chances are you would remember it. So, I mean, if you want to build a memory bank of jokes in your mind, that's one idea you can have. And, of course, all of us maybe would be well for us to take Paul's instruction in Philippians as far as our memory bank and our memory book. Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things which are behind. Maybe that ought to be in our memory book, is wipe off some of the stuff. Get it out of your mind. Don't dwell on it. In fact, Philippians 4 says, whatever pure, lovely, whatever is of good report, has any virtue, whatever, let your mind dwell on those things. What is your memory book? What does your memory book contain? We all have developed memory books in our lives. You know that, don't you? God has a memory book. Do you read that in Malachi? A book of remembrance. That is, God has a book of remembrance. And knows your name. He knows every hair on your head. He knows the date, the hour, and the time that hair fell out, Dan. He knows that I mean, he knows us. He knows when every sparrow falls. Every sparrow that ever has fallen, God sees it. You know that, don't you? He's aware of every aspect of your life and my life. And someone has said, God gave us memories so that we could have roses in December. Memories. Remembering. What should you remember? What are things that you ought to put in your memory book? In the book of remembrance as far as your personal life is concerned. If you're going to write one, this is some things I believe you ought to have there. And you ought to keep dwelling on them. And you need to open up your book and read it every once in a while. I think you all of us today, especially with the world that you and I are living in, with the trauma of today, we all need to remember that God's constant care is right there available for us. God cares. Songwriter says, does Jesus care? Does Jesus? Oh, yes, he cares. Does God care? Many of us got the idea sometimes, does God really care? I mean, does he really care? And in reference to Israel, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 and 4, Don tried to emphasize that this morning. God said, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God had led you in the wilderness those 40 years, that he might humble you, test you to know what was in your heart and whether you would keep his commandments or not. Bible says, James says, count all joy when you fall into different trials and tribulations and so on. Why? Because in that time frame, your faith is being refined. God is really looking at your heart to see whether or not you really have a faith that says and strengthens and encourages you through that time because you know God cares. He's right there with you. He's right there beside you. Verse 4, your clothing didn't wear out. That's what it says. How'd you like to live 40 years and wear the same clothing? You know, your sandals didn't wear out. And then he said something very significantly. Going through a desert, he said, your feet never swelled. Never had swollen feet. How many of you had like to have that? You know? Some of you have to prop your feet up every once in a while, don't you, just to try to help the swelling go down? Several times Moses reminds Israel with these words, you shall remember. Remember what? Remember you were slaves in Egypt. You remember when you were a slave to sin? Remember when you were in that world and you were in darkness and you had never seen the light yet? You remember how helpless you were, how lost you were, how hopeless you were, and then came your knowledge of Christ? Remember. Remember, okay? Remember who brought you out. Who set you free from that slavery? Remember who set you free. Jesus said, I've come to set the captive free. We've been set free from the slavery of sin. We've been set free. And we need to remember who set us free. Who set us free? And it says, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. You think of Jesus' arms being stretched out on a cross, dying for you? He took your sins in his body. He bore your iniquities for you. He was beaten for your transgressions and for mine. God laid upon him the iniquities of us all. We need to remember that. We need to keep that in our minds, that the price that was paid for your freedom, for your life, for me, and God expressed his love to you and I. In 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7, Peter writes and says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in proper time, casting all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. How many times has God took care of you? How many times has God been there involved in your life? And your? How many of those times have you forgotten? Did Israel forget the Red Sea? Did Israel forget the manna, the quail? And all the times that God had blessed her and delivered her from the hands of her, that Israel constantly. And what did Israel do in that time of forgetting? They murmured, they complained, they found fault with Moses and with God and on and on and on. You know what? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 that those things were written for our admonition that we would not follow in their footsteps and that they all died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. God cares for you and me. God won't let you be tried above what you can stand, but he'll give you a way to escape. God says and promises, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Isn't that what he promises? So don't forget that. Put that in your memory. Remember those times that God, because if God delivered you one, He'll deliver you two, He'll deliver you three. He'll keep right on accomplishing His will and His purpose because He's a faithful God. Hebrews says, don't waver in your faith because He who promised is faithful. He's promised and He's faithful. Okay? And I can't look back at any time of my life that God left me. Any of us left Him? Maybe we wavered. The aspect, of course, is that God always proves Himself to be faithful. Why? Because He cares. What did Don read in his scripture this morning? Huh? While we were all yet sinners, God commended His love toward us and that Jesus died. Romans chapter 5. Read it over and over and over again. And if God loved you when you were an enemy, how much more does He love you now that you've been adopted? You've been reconciled. You're His friend. Memory books. How many of you have written in your memory book of your mind God's great blessings of the past? Remember Joshua, the crossing of the river, Jordan? And after they had done that, you know what God said to Joshua? Order 12 men. Have 12 men from one from each tribe and put a huge rock on their shoulders and carry it out into the Jordan River and put them there in the middle of the river where the feet of the priest are standing. That's what they did. Why? Why? What was the purpose of it? So that when your children see those rocks, they're going to ask, what do those rocks mean? How many of us have gone to Washington, D.C.? We've gone here, we've gone there, we've traveled here and there, and monuments all over the place, isn't there? How many of you have gone up and read the wording underneath to see what it represented and what it all stood for? And the concepts of it. The railings and the meanings of that. You see, Joshua did exactly what God said. Did you know that in 1949 they found those rocks? 12 rocks in the middle of Jordan River, almost straight parallel to the city of Jerusalem, right out in the very middle of it. We don't read that in the paper, do we? Huh? They don't tell you any of that stuff. The liberal world, Satan's world, doesn't want you to know that God has laid evidences everywhere. It's there. There's memorials all over the world of what God's Word teaches us, what He says. Nations that the geologists said never existed, and therefore the Bible. Then our geologist comes along and uncovers the Hittites, a people, a nation, and found them. I mean, it's amazing. They found the Babylonian language written in a rock in the mountains, and were able to take that and digest and understand many of the languages, etc., etc. They don't tell you any of that stuff. But God has a finger over every aspect of His creation and says, I am, I am. Have you put that in your memory bank? I mean, how many of you went out into Nevada, out into that area of our country? Huh? Have you traveled out to the Grand Canyon? Have you seen the water lines? Huh? There's no explanation for those water lines except there was a huge flood. You see spirals of rocks that go up in the air, I don't know, 25, 30 feet. And if you look, you can see lines. And the only way those lines could have been created is from receding water. I mean, there's evidence all over the place of a flood. I mean, God left us memorials here and there and everywhere. Yes, it's there. It's for you and I to see. Written all over this creation, the aspects of it. I mean, you and I have just gone through one of the most beautiful seasons of the year and all these trees blossoming. And you ever notice as you look at trees, the green, how many different shades of green there are? And how green just isn't green? It's light, dark, medium, all different shades of green. It's beautiful, isn't it? That just happened, right? Huh? Grass is green too, you know that. Wheat is really a pretty green. Have you noticed wheat right now? Beautiful, isn't it? Why did God make everything green? Everybody understand why God created everything green? Because green is the softest color known to man on your eyes. It puts no strain on your eyes whatsoever. Like red does, huh? Orange, huh? You look at those colors, you look at green, absolutely no strain on your eyes. Did you know that? No. No, memory banks. It's all around us. What is God's memory bank? Here I am. Since his creation, his eternal power and wisdom is clearly seen through the things that he has made, so that you and I are without excuse. What's in your memory bank? What have you written in that aspect so that you can remember it and see it? And we need to remember. We really do. And Jesus established a memorial, didn't he? We observed it this morning. Didn't he? It's called the Lord's Supper, right? He observed and he instituted it. And he, what did he say? Do this in remembrance of me, right? Took the cup and the loaf. He blessed it. The loaf, he said, this is my body, which is given for you. This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. As often as you do this, drink it in memory of me, right? Right? Do you know that some people can eat and drink damnation unto themselves, not discerning aright the word, the body of Christ? This is not just grape juice. This is to discern. You are to remember. You're supposed to allow that to help you to remember that it was Jesus who shed his blood for the remission of your sin. This was a memory day, a memorial day. Every Lord's Day is a memorial day for God's people. Then Jesus established, I didn't. Churches of Christ didn't. The apostles did. And they're the ones who laid out the pattern of the New Testament following after the pattern of the Old Testament. Because under the Old Testament, the priest went into the tabernacle and every Sabbath day took of the 12 loaves, broke a leaf, unleavened bread, broke one and ate a piece from every 12 loaves, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And you and I now are the spiritual tribe of Israel. And we come together on the Lord's Day for one purpose. We came here today because Jesus invited us to his memorial. And every time you and I forsake the Lord's table, we are saying to Jesus and to God that the blood of his covenant is an unworthy thing and we're trampling under his feet because this is his table and he invited us to it. We're here for one purpose, and to discern and participate with him, because Jesus said, I will drink it anew with you in my kingdom. And I believe we are the kingdom. I came here because I wanted to share the loaf and the cup with my Lord. That's why I came. Okay? But I came also because I wanted to be with you. Because we are a family, family of God. What should families do? How many of your families are getting together over Memorial Day? Huh? Going to have a barbecue? Going to have this? A hot dog? Whatever. Point is, you have memory bank. We need also to remember to seek God and to seek him every day. You need to put that in your memory bank. Seek God every day of your life, like a deer panting for water. So my heart pants for you, God. How many times have we just gone on in life and forgot that what we're here for is that God is there. He's not far from any one of us. At least happily, if we will seek him, we'll find him. He's there. He wants to have that fellowship with us. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the year when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. You know how many people I know, when they reach that ripe age, I don't know why I'm here anymore. I wish I was dead. Why in the world God don't take me? Why doesn't this happen? Why doesn't that happen? Remember your Creator in the days of the youth, because the day will come because of the evil and the corruption and all the stuff in the world where you will ask, what am I doing here? Isn't that amazing? I remember how excited I was back in my teenage years and my first years of ministry and my relationship with God. Do you remember that? Is it written in your memory book? You need to remember how excited you were. You remember what it felt like when you come up out of the water, a new creature in Christ? You remember that day? Huh? And how excited you were? Huh? Remember that. Remember it. Get it into your memory bank and focus on that and think about that. And Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Every day you need to be seeking God to have that relationship. A book of remembrance. We need to remember who led us and spoke to us the word of God. You know that? And there's a reason for that. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember those who led you and spoke to you, the word of God to you. Remember them who led you to Christ. Remember them. Remember who spoke the Word of God to you. Why? Why should we? Because we need to consider the result of their conduct. You know who led me to Christ? It was my my father-in-law. You know? A godly elder at the Fairest Church of Christ. Man of God integrity. Man held up in the community. High regarded individual. Somebody I want to emulate. He took an interest in me when I was just a young man. I take interest in young men. I love being with young men. I love sharing my life with them. I love hunting with them, fishing with them, talking with them, going to breakfast with them. I just love that because I remember a father-in-law who loved me and shared that life with me and that time with me. And I consider that. I remember that. It's in my memory bank. I haven't forgotten that and how important that was to me in that time frame of my life. And I also remember his faith. And it says that you and I consider the result of their conduct and imitate their faith. Imitate their faith. Well, he may have led me to Christ. He may have taught me. He may have planted the seed. But man, I have known many faithful men and women over the years of ministry whose faith just stands out as a living example in every aspect of their lives. I mean, there was a gentleman in my first ministry, an elderly man named Ben. I mean, he invited Marilyn and I to his house for Sunday dinner, and he had TV dinners every time. I mean, he did. Elderly, crippled. Every time he broke a bone, he never went to see the doctor. I mean, it was amazing. Just something. But boy, my first funeral sermon I preached. He came up after me, tears in his eyes. Put his arm on me. That was a fantastic sermon. But he says, you may want to tone it down a little. I'll never forget that, you know. And he taught me. How many of you, I don't know if any of you remember Fred Chase, who was an elder at West Lansing. Fred happened to be at one time Secretary of State for Michigan. And Fred and I, he taught me an awful lot. He taught, if you will, Dale Carnegie's classes on power of positive thinking and the aspects of that. And there was nobody that had a better way of dealing with things. One of the illustrations he gave, I'll never forget it. It's in my memory bank. Whenever you're dealing with issues in your life, you write down all the negatives over here, write all the positives over here, and then you make your decision. Simple. Very simple. Just try it. Just try writing down on one side all the things you're dealing with. Then write over here all the positive. Maybe I do that with your marriage. Huh? Maybe I write down all the positive things you have in your relationship. Then write all the negative things. I guarantee you that if you're honest with yourself, the positive always outweighs the negative. It always does. Always does. Whenever you're making a decision in the church, whatever you're doing with anything, Fred Chase said, write out the positive, write out the negative. And I'll never forget, we were dealing with something there, and the elders and deacons and all of us were sitting, Fred got up, Fred, big guy, come over and got the blackboard out, give me all the negatives. So we started writing out the negatives. All right, let's go ahead, give me the positives. And he wrote down the positive. Okay, guys, what are you going to do? Well, very obvious. The positive way outweighed the negative. You ever done that? He taught me that. I do that all the time. That's how I process my mind, is be able to have a means by which I can learn. And I imitate those kind of things. I mean, did you know Dwayne Rensburger? You know Dwayne always planted his peas? Anybody remember when he planted his peas? Yes? Huh? Good Friday. And you know he would go out there and dig in the snow? And if the ground was frozen, he'd break up the ground. He always planted his peas, no matter what. You know what? They grew. He always had peas earlier than anybody else. You know that? Huh? You think, well, I wouldn't work. Peas will grow in anything. It's amazing. He knew that. Why am I saying that? Because the point of the issue is that there is so much you and I can learn, the simple processes of life from other people, it just staggers my mind. And I have all that in my memory book. I mean, I really do. And then we need to remember, if you remember, Lot's wife. Huh? Isn't that interesting? Jesus said in Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. Short little verb. Remember Lot's wife. You know what was happening, don't you? Because of the lifestyle, the gay lesbianism that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, God said he was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was going to burn them to ground. Isn't that what he said? He told Lot and his wife and his children to leave. And he warned them, don't look back. Don't look behind. Just keep going. But Lot's wife did what? She looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. Somebody has said today, when men and women look back, they turn into telephone poles. That one missed it. But anyway, point is, go ahead, look back and see what happens. Okay, you run into a ditch, whatever. Have you ever noticed when you look back, something happens? Even if you look to your left or your right, something happens. You always go to the direction in which you're looking, but we need to remember Lot's wife. Why? Because Jesus said in Luke 9:62, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, there should be nothing behind you in your memory book that's more important to you than what is in your future. If you have been risen with Christ, set your mind on things above. Things that are eternal. Things that are not going to pass away. There should be nothing behind you that is more attractive to you than what God is doing for you and what He promises for you. There's nothing in behind that's worth looking back to. And because people look back, they go back into the world, they go back into this, they go back into that, and they lose their direction, etc. Isn't that true? Don't look back. Don't look back. There's nothing back there. What in the world did you or I ever get from being and living in the world and in the sin of it? What did you receive from it? What benefit did it give you? Nothing. Nothing at all. Lastly, we need to remember how good we have it. I said we need to remember how good we have it. A lot of complaining, a lot of murmuring, a lot of griping, a lot of finding fault, whatever going on in our country, in our world today, isn't there? Remember the rich man and Lazarus? The story as it goes, the beggar, Lazarus, the rich man. And he cried out to Abraham and to ask for mercy and said, send Lazarus so that he can dip his finger in water because I thirst and I'm being tormented in this place and I am in agony in the failing. And this is what Abraham said. Abraham said, child, remember that during your life you received your good thing and likewise Lazarus his bad things. But now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. How many things you think about your memory book that you have experienced that you have there, but how many things have you not experienced that is in other people's memory books? Think about it. This is Memorial Day weekend. Isn't that right? Can you and I imagine what the pilgrims went through to get here on Mayflower and what they went through there, and many of them died because of diseases and etc. when they landed here in this land, what they went through, and if it hadn't been for the Indians, they would have all died and perished. But the Indians showed them how to grow crops and do things of that nature. And they survived and they made it. And on then our country continued to grow. And the aspect of the early settlers, how many of you watched Little House on the Prairie? How would you like to live like that, woman? Huh? Left out there for weeks without her husband who had to travel wherever to get food and do whatever. And she's there all by herself in that little cabin with nothing more than a fireplace to cook and take care. She's out working in the garden, raising the crops and whatever and doing all that stuff. That's a great lifestyle, wasn't it? Then think about what they did. Look at the sacrificing they went through to settle and to move to the West in this particular country. How about those who died during the British War and the French and war. I mean, think of all the thousands of men, young men, and families, children that died in order to build this country and to get this country free from the tyranny of the British Empire. I mean, think about it. Think of what they experienced. Think of what those thousands of men and the price they paid during the Civil War. I mean, have you been to Gettysburg? You've ever gone out there and look at the monuments and all the names and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of names? Well, when you do that, just go out there for one and just happen to look at all the names and look at how many times you'll see the name Horton, 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 Horton. That's where my relatives settled, was in Pennsylvania and out in the eastern, and hundreds of my relatives died during the Civil War. Memory book, huh? Been there, seen it, the aspects of it. How about all the thousands, what those men went through to write the Constitution of the United States and give to you and I a Declaration of Independence? You know what those men went through? You know what they suffered? You know what they had to give up? Homes and family and everything to write and give you a nation that established on law and principle that are now being attacked from every area. The sacrifice they made. Think of the thousands of men and women who died during the First and Second War. The impact it had. It had an impact on me. My dad, stepfather, uncles, all of them came back unbelievable alcoholics. I've had and dealt with the young men that came back from Vietnam when my first ministry down full time. Young men coming back and being treated like dirt. Many of them lost their minds, ended up in Ann Arbor because of the way they were being treated by us back here. Well, they'd gone over there and saw many thousands, hundreds of their buddies die in those swamps over there in Vietnam. Something to remember. I didn't experience it. They did. And what do I have because they did that? I have the right to stand up here in front of you this morning freely and preach to you the Word of God. Because thousands and hundreds of people, I mean, there was Korea, there was Vietnam, there's been Iraq, there's been Afghanistan, there's been all kinds of things. And innocent men, women, think of all the children over there. Think of all the families that have been uprooted in those countries, moved and had to move. They have nothing now but a little tent, nothing over their head. I mean, think about it. That's not in your experience book, is it? But can you imagine it? What it has to be like for those that have and now are going through all of that? And why? I can stand here today now and I have the privilege of having my name written in a book of life. I've had the privilege of God writing my name into His book of remembrance. And what does He write in there? What does He write in there? What is He writing in that book of remembrance that is before God? Is that I fear Him. Those who are in that book of remembrance of God are those who fear Him. Those who fear God. Isn't that what it said? You read it? Yeah. Those who fear God. And those who esteem His name. Those who hold up His name. And there's no greater name given from heaven than the name Jesus. It's that name that's going to save you. Esteem it. Hold it up. Worship Him who it represents. The Christ, the Son of God. Those who live righteous lives. Isn't that what it said? Those who walk in obedience to God. And those who serve the Lord. Four things that He says that are written in God's book of remembrance about those people that will be His people. That He would share, save them, and be with them, and bless them. Is that they will fear Him. They will esteem Him. They will walk in righteousness before Him. And they will serve Him. And I have the privilege of doing that today. Because of the sacrifice of hundreds and thousands of lives. That are not in my experience book. But I won't forget them. I support veterans. I do whatever I can to tell them thank you. When I walk into wherever and there are National Guard soldiers there, if I can, I'll go get the bill and I'll pay it for them. And I'll thank them for the service they've given to my country, to you and me. Because they are. And you know who the first ones are that are usually called? The National Guard. Huh? We ought to be grateful for this country. And look at what they're doing to our flag today. Look at what they're doing to all the aspects. Who ever dreamed that their day would come that they'd be rioting out in California like they are in San Diego? That's just the fact that because the farther we get away from God, the more animalistic we become. And the true nature of man that is outside of the fear of God becomes seen within man himself. Aren't you glad in your memory book somebody gave you a knowledge of God. And you are who you are because of that, right? Yes, you are. So we're going to stand together, and that's a great song. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. We'll stand and sing it together, if you will.